B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, also presented by DraftKings. Starting to really sort of crystallize my feelings on Brady, the opinion on Brady. Stu, it took me months, but I'm finally getting something for you. Finally.
Thank God.
Finally coming off the fence.
It only took you about 16 weeks.
In fairness, though, you did have retirement at the top of your take chain.
I did. And I got to give up that.
That's a hot take.
Have to give that up by now.
It's unique.
I don't understand why that's why you're mocking me for the retirement today.
Yeah, he's going to retire. Oh, boy, whoo. There's a sexy outcome. Pick a sexy outcome. If you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly.
So wait a minute.
Jets. Give me the Cowboys. No, he's just going to walk away.
As you can't. He had a take.
Right.
Let's go with that.
Beggars
because
can't
they're
be
so
choosers.
Hard to come by. So let's go with that. Do not make it, mock him for a bad take because then he won't have another take for like 6 months. It'll be like the Bruins commercial all over again.
If I'm just trying to have a sexy take, then it's contrived. And we don't, as you know, it's hard for people out there to believe, but it's not contrived. You know, this
isn't.
Is actually how we feel. Yeah. Well, if it were contrived, I'd give you something sexier than retirement. But that proved to be wrong. So now what? Now I think he's going to come back because I think he's going to chicken out. I think everything that we're reading is real. Okay. And I think all the quote unquote problems with Bill are real. And I think all of it's real. I'm not saying it's, I'm telling you, and I think he wants to leave. I think he set himself up to go. And I think there's teams that are going to want him and they're going to pay for him and blah, blah, blah. And then he's going to bag out and give me the boring story is him coming back. Boring. Oh, no one thinks I can do it, huh? And then I got to listen to that for another, 2 years. Bore me to tears. Boring. That's boring. But that's what I think's happening. Because I don't think he has the balls to leave and go somewhere else.
See, the more I think about it, the more I think he's gone. And I'll tell you why. During his whole career in New England, okay, the one thing that we have heard consistently from his old man is it's going to end badly. It's going to end badly. And why is it going to end badly? Because Bill will trade his ass off or bench his ass or send him to Tampa like he did with Mankins or to Oakland like he did with Seymour or to Kansas City like he did with Vrabel. Whether that came from ownership or not, but that Bill would push the button and that would be the end of it.
Do you think there's any chance that Bill could chicken out?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, crap.
And this is what I'm worried about, too. Bill chickens out. Yeah, I can win without Brady. We're more than this guy. This is about the program. It's about me. And then he's staring straight in the eyes of Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater or something like this, and he says, oh, well, look at my schedule. I actually can't win with this guy. And Bill caves. I think someone's going to chicken out.
Yeah, I don't think Bill will cave. This is a guy who benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. He's got way too big an ego. He's way too arrogant to cave. He won't cave because he thinks he could win with other people. That's who he is. I think he's totally that guy.
I could see it happening.
And the only reason
someone's going to blink, and it could be him too.
Okay, the only reason I bring up the whole Brady thing because we have heard a million reports here over the last, weeks. About what Brady wants. Brady wants weapons. No, Brady wants a commitment. He wants money. That's what Brady wants. No, Brady wants Bill to tell him he loves him. That's what he wants. No, Giselle wants Brady to leave. It's Giselle. It's not Brady. No, Brady wants to promote TB12. That's what Brady wants. You know what Brady has wanted all along? For someone other than Bill to make the decision, meaning him, meaning Tom make the decision. That's why he asked to get rid of the franchise tag. The more I think about it, the more I think this is what it is. What if Brady already got what he wants? What if by going to Kraft and saying, look, you guys want to year, you haven't given me an extension in 2 years. The coach is going to push the button on me when he decides, and I don't think I deserve that.
So
I think I have the right to decide when it's over.
Okay, so I don't totally follow.
So Kraft says to him, fine, we'll take away the franchise tag. You get the right to decide.
Okay.
So why would he then come back?
Because he'll chicken out.
And subject himself to the same torture of Belichick?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No.
Helsinki syndrome.
I think he's gone already. I think I do. The more I think about it, I think he's gone.
I'm more on your side of this, Maz, but I just think, I don't know, given his history.
Well, sure.
And given his age and how the easier thing to do is to just, I'll stay. And he'll still be miserable and he'll mope through the season just like last year. But the easiest thing of all is to just come back.
I mean, I credit Bill with having the balls to do it, but maybe I'm giving him a little bit too much credit. Do you really have the balls, Bill? Really? Are you going to let Tom Brady go and bring in Andy Dalton? And really? Do you really? I mean, I would love to see it. I'm rooting for it. I've been on record. Like, that's what I want to happen. But does he have the balls to do that? Is there any chance he gets to the abyss? He gets to that line and it's time to make that call. And then he says, what am I, a freaking idiot? I'm going to let Tom Brady go for Andy Dalton? No, I'm not going to do that.
So he'll give him 2 years and $60 million?
Does he cave?
No way.
Does Bill cave?
No way.
I don't think we've given that enough.
No way.
Enough of a chance. He's a human being.
I think Brady has been sitting there for 20 years looking over his shoulder saying, when's this guy going to trade me? And now he doesn't have to worry about it anymore because he can decide where he finishes his career. He decides it. And he's going to go back and let Bill decide it again?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Yes.
I'll tell you, when I really think about it, it all adds up. Bill was upset. Again, I'll go back to Tom Curran. Wasn't crazy about the idea of giving up the franchise tag. Why? Think of how that played out, right? Think of how that played out. We're giving up the franchise tag, Robert? Why are we doing that? We're going to lose our leverage. I mean, and we're not going to get anything for the asset. If we wanted to trade him, we can. We're going to get nothing. And Kraft says to him, oh, you mean like trading Garoppolo for a second-round pick? No, I'm going to do a solid. I'm going to do Tom a solid, just like you did Jimmy a solid.
I understand. They all feel that way today. When they're staring at the act, here it is in front of you, dotted line. Brady gone, Dalton in. Do they all have the balls to let that happen?
Moment of truth. I get it.
The moment of truth. I'm not talking about now. You're right. Obviously, I think Brady's angling to go right now. Obviously.
Bill has the balls.
And I think Bill's angling to go in a different direction. I think this is all apparent. This is all real. It's happening. Now it's time to sign on the dotted line. Now it's time to sign on the dotted line.
Just remember, Bill drafted his replacement 6 years ago.
It's too, you know, and again, you're using too much logic. I'm personalizing it. I want it too badly, and it's too interesting for Brady to go to the Raiders. I want it too badly, and it would be too interesting. What's going to happen is what I don't want. That's going to be boring, and it's just more of the same. Because that's always what ends up happening, especially when you take, you know, like when you're the contrarian, you're usually taking the long shot.
Unpopular
odds. Yeah. You're usually taking the underdog or you're taking the unlikely outcome. And so it usually doesn't happen. That's usually where I'm at. It never usually works out for me. My team usually loses and my take usually doesn't work out. That's just the way it goes. So I want Brady to go somewhere else because it would be really interesting and really fun. I'd want to see it. And that's why it won't happen. So that's just you're using logic.
Schlepprock over there.
Here's what I don't want to hear, though.
He's gone. I think he's gone.
This thing about, I hope you're right, this thing about Tennessee and, oh, what are they going to do with Ryan Tannehill? I heard it again from Schefter. You'll hear the sound here coming up in a second. That people are actually, when they're you know, Tennessee for a lot of people is the leader in the clubhouse for Brady. But everyone will say, what does that mean for Ryan Tannehill? This is what I don't want to hear. Don't tell me that Tennessee, as part of their calculus, is wondering what to do with Ryan Tannehill. You know what you do with Ryan Tannehill? You thank him for his service and his contract run, and you push him out of the nest and let him fall, plummet to the ground or whatever. Let some other idiot team pay him $30 million a year. You crush that. You got him cheap. You traded for him. He saved your season. You went on the run. He went on a contract run. Take it. Quit while you're ahead. What you think Tennessee really going to double down and bring back Ryan freaking Tannehill?
I can't imagine that Vrabel would.
Oh my God.
I can't imagine he would.
I'm under the impression that there's some fans down there that are clamoring for it though, that they feel like they got the guy.
Well,
They got lightning in a bottle. You got Joe Flacco with that run that he had with the Ravens in 2012. Cut bait, move on, and let him turn back in to Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer if you're Tennessee.
I mean, you can hear Schefter say, well, you know, if they wait for Brady, the Titans do, they have to go after the 18th. And really, the franchise tags are due starting, I think, like next week. And so if they don't franchise him, then he's free to go elsewhere on the 18th. And then if they don't land Brady, they risk losing Tannehill. To which I say, Okay, lose Tannehill. Right. You'll be fine. You'll find the next guy to come in and manage your offense, for crying out loud. Or you don't tell me you're worried about Ryan freaking Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, if they are, then they're condemned to be where they are right now, which is 9-7, a playoff team on the cusp, if that, and then they'll get into the playoffs and lose. They had a nice run this year, but they won't beat anybody good with Ryan Tannehill deep in the postseason. They won't. They won't. And I have to believe that at the end of the day, Vrabel, of all people, knows that. Vrabel, of all people, says, you know, if we had had a better quarterback, maybe we actually have a better shot in Kansas City.
So, but, and maybe they don't even get one, okay? So maybe no, a better quarterback isn't available, but to retain the guy you have, you have to pay him $30-plus million a year.
I think the
idea... so much better off getting, you know, there's a bunch of guys available, like... You could go get Andy Dalton, and he could do, generally speaking, what Ryan Tannehill did.
I think he could do more.
I think he's, you know, roughly the same guy. And you hand off to Derrick Henry and run a bootleg here and there, and like, you've got a lot of, you don't have to pay $30 million a year to do that.
When you said the idea of franchising Tannehill, I said, they're not going to franchise him. Who would pay him that? That's preposterous, except you look online, some estimates have Tannehill getting 4 years, $125 million.
Yes, sir.
4 years, $125 for that guy? No way. No way. I'd rather the punter play quarterback than pay him that. Seriously, I'd go 0-16. No way am I paying that to Ryan Tannehill. No effing way.
Okay, so Brady to the Titans, gaining steam. And, you know, just don't tell me that Ryan Tannehill is a factor in this thing. We continue with your thoughts at 617-779-0985.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5 to Sports Hub.
My takeaway from that was, I think we all need to pay a little bit more attention to Tennessee here than we thought. And Tennessee is more viable as a potential Tom Brady destination than we thought. And Tennessee, I expect to be in the mix. Las Vegas, I expect to be in the mix. I think the Chargers will try to be in the mix. I don't know if they'll be able to get it done. And then, of course, the question is, does he get back to New England? Now, the real interesting one on Tennessee is this. They have Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
And if you franchise Ryan Tannehill, well, then it's very hard to go get Tom Brady. I don't think you can do that. But do you take the risk of not franchising a guy that played like a franchise quarterback last year and trying to get Tom Brady, running the risk that you could lose both? Or do you go ahead and franchise Tannehill and remove the Brady option off the table when it certainly sounds like it's a possibility?
The Tannehill thing. Like, come on. Come on. We can't risk losing Ryan Tannehill? Say what?
That is something. Like, who is actually looking? Who can actually say that and really mean it?
I mean, it's asinine.
So that's Adam Schefter with Rich Eisen. I don't know. Murray said, too, like, there's some people in Tennessee who think that that's the guy.
No way.
I mean, come on.
I mean, no way. Again, like, I just can't believe that teams would be duped into this. Now, look. You know, could they sign Tannehill to a deal before the market that's not a franchise deal? And it's something, sure, that could happen and take him out of play. Franchise Ryan Tannehill?
Come on.
You might as well just take $35 million, you know, wipe your backside with it and flush it down the toilet.
Those people that are trying to convince themselves that Tannehill would be the better option than Brady are just looking at last year's statistics, because statistically Tannehill was better than Brady for the most part. And they're probably getting tripped up on Brady's age. But Brady still threw for over 4,000 yards, had 24 touchdowns and 8 picks, and he did it with junk. That's without A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. Imagine if he actually had those weapons. Brady's the better option, you rubes.
Okay.
Tannehill blows.
We continue with your thoughts. One open line at 617-779-0985. Adam in Burlington. Hi.
Hey, guys. First time caller of the show. Love you guys. I'm just calling, saying that while I think Brady is probably going to come back to New England and tuck his tail between his legs, I think there's absolutely no way Brady's going to the Raiders. It's the sexy fit for him, but I just don't see him going up against Pat Mahomes twice a year in that division, competing for the wild card round every year. He's either staying with the Pats or probably going to Tennessee with his buddy Vrabel.
So this I reject. The strength of the division. I just reject it. It's like, wait, is Brady suddenly afraid of Pat Mahomes? I don't know. So you're telling me, caller, and other people feel this way, that let's just say that otherwise that Las Vegas is perfect. Perfect for his business, perfect for his future, the best contract, they're going to surround him with the best talent. He likes John Gruden the best. Giselle actually wants to live in Las Vegas. It's perfect. He loves it, but Pat Mahomes is in my division. I can't go there. Is that what you really think?
Yeah, to me, no. That's not. It's a horrible way to make a decision. Horrible.
And oh, by the way, winning the division is probably a little diminished now because there's no number two seed. If you go into next year, just winning your division, you had a 50-50 chance of being a one or a two. Now that's sort of off the table. So you can go to a weak division, but even winning it now doesn't guarantee you the number one seed.
Yeah, I don't.
So you're in the same spot. What's the difference?
I don't buy into any of that. The only thing I buy into with Brady not choosing a team is because that team would have to face the Patriots. Like that's one of the reasons I think Miami is off the table.
I agree. And the Raiders are on the Patriots schedule, right?
Yep, they're here next year.
So they're here. Like that I think might work against them, which disappoints me gravely.
See, I have a hard time believing that one, too. Again, so you eliminate. How many teams are you going to eliminate right out of the gate?
He's a chicken bleep, Maz. This is what you don't get. That for the most amazing cutthroat competitor we've ever seen on the field, off the field, he's a little bit of a pussycat. Little bit. And I can totally see. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he goes there. And I hope I get Brady Belichick. Believe me, I would like nothing more. But when Volan introduced that last month, that hit home for me. I could see him wanting to avoid the Patriots.
Yeah.
And avoid coming here wearing an opposing uniform. I can see it.
I mean, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you if that's the case, that's pathetic. And it's horrible business.
Disappointing.
You think of all the teams you eliminate just because, what, you don't want to play New England? Oh, I mean, that's weak.
Brady here in that white and silver Raiders jersey? Oh, my God. How many of those would be in the stands?
There'd be a couple.
10,000?
I'd have one.
One out of five? We'll be wearing the Raiders white. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So I just wanted to say, but I expect that Brady is going to cave. I expect Kraft is going to cave. I think Kraft is going to give Brady probably $30 million for 2 years. And I think Brady's just going to want to go back to what he knows. But this is actually not what I want to happen, even though I've loved Brady all my life. Because I don't think Brady was the problem last year. I think it was the talent around him. And I think if they give him that kind of contract, they're not going to be able to afford to sign the kind of talent that they need to make him an effective player again. And then I think they're just kicking this can down the line, and it's going to be a huge problem when it's all over.
So this is Maz's point.
Yeah, I mean, this is another element to it. Is that, again, you have to get certain weapons for Brady if you're going to appease him and lure him to come back. So you're going to invest more money into veteran guys on a team that's already the oldest team in the league. That's just not smart. And if there's anything the Patriots are not, it's stupid. I mean, they're clearly smart. So I just...
But sometimes they make mistakes.
Well, sure. I mean, everybody makes them, right? I just think, again, I add it all up and I don't see how this works anymore.
And sometimes they're not just cold, hard business. They're not. They're not. Sometimes they make decisions based on emotion. Bill does it. Not often, but every now and then, and we've seen it. Where he makes decisions based on things other than just cold, hard business and what's best for the team, black and white. Sometimes he's a human being, so sometimes he makes decisions for things other than that. And Kraft certainly does. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to start riding this Bill caving train. Let's just say Robert steps in and gives Brady 2 years, $60 million. I'll make the case that Bill kind of caved. Because if you didn't want to give him that money, and Robert steps over you, then what are you still doing here? Why don't you get out?
Well, maybe he will.
Let's see it. I mean, so you didn't. So it's going to be very easy for Bill to go, hey, look, I didn't give him that money. I was overruled on that. But yeah, I'm still coaching here and all my kids are still here. And yeah, I'm a Patriot. Yeah. If you're really going to make a stand on that, then make a stand on that.
Well, okay. But again, now you're talking about a rash decision, right? You're talking about giving up your career in New England. Because the owner overruled you, as if you're not going to get overruled by the owner in any other market. So I just, now, again, the way you phrase it, Bill caving, meaning Bill gives him the money, no shot.
I can see them giving the money and Bill blaming Robert. I didn't give him the money. Oh, I can see that. Nick in the car on the NFL playoff format. Nick, do you like it?
No, I actually had a first statement on that last thing. If you think that a guy that spent his whole career taking pay cuts to surround himself with good talent in the twilight of his career is going to do something different, I think everybody's crazy. But in the 17-game expansion, are we assuming that they're starting the same week and ending on President's Day? Or are they starting the last week of August where the typical fourth game
is played? No. I mean, I haven't heard anything on that, Nick, but that would be stupid. They have to start after Labor Day.
But, I mean, wouldn't that allow for a possible 18-game expansion and then end on the President's Day and go from that last week in August?
Nick, I just think you're barking up the wrong tree. And I used to be big on they want to get to President's Day. I'm not sure I believe that anymore. They want extra games. They want extra games. Okay? So it's not about when it starts or when it ends. It's about the number. It's about the inventory they're giving to the networks where they can then ask for a bigger rights fee based on more inventory. That's it. And if they start in late August, then they have to play on Labor Day, Labor Day weekend, which they decided against years ago, and it was right. Labor Day weekend, and this sort of ties into the Super Bowl and President's Day. Ratings over holiday weekends are not as good, and they found that out. So they start the weekend after Labor Day. They used to start on Labor Day, remember?
Yeah, it's been like 20 years, I think, since they've done that.
It's been a while, but they figured it out. It's like holiday ratings are not as good. So I don't anymore think that they want the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, and they certainly don't want to play on Labor Day weekend, that's for sure.
No, I mean, that part of it makes sense. Yeah, that part of it totally makes sense. They'll start after Labor Day. No two ways about it.
If anything, they would eliminate the... I mean, now I wonder if I'm going to flip in the whole other direction and say they want to avoid President's Day weekend and maybe even eliminate the Super... If they go to 18 games, eliminate the Super Bowl bye week to get it the week before President's Day. That wouldn't surprise me. I've totally flipped on that thing. Tom in the car, quickly.
Hi, I was just thinking the 17-game season, that could actually help Brady coming back in my mind because they're going to probably get about another, 20, 30 million in the salary cap because it's like $4 billion.
So does every team, though, Tom.
Yes, but what I'm saying is now that, you know, they could give him 3 years, $30 million, $60 million guaranteed.
Right, and another team can give them 3 years, $100 million guaranteed. Everyone's getting more money.
Right, they're all going to benefit from it.
Okay, so what they all have the room. Every team that's in on Brady has the money, has the room. It's do they want to spend it? And the money for Brady is going to be pretty equal everywhere except for here, no matter whether they have a new CBA or don't, or they have a bigger cap or not. Bill's going to want to pay him less than everybody else. Everywhere else, he's going to be around $30 million, give or take.
See, I thought he was going to say the opposite. I thought he was going to say the 17-game schedule hurts him because Brady's 42. Now he's got to get through another game?
So I think it helps everyone in this PR game in that it opens up another playoff berth, and it gives Bill a chance to say, I made the playoffs without Brady. And if Brady goes somewhere else, it gives him a chance to say, I made the playoffs without Bill because you're allowing an extra team. And, oh, by the way, it gives Bill one more game per regular season to catch Shula. So instead of maybe going 5 years, he can do it in four, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I think both of them would want it for these reasons.
I mean, I just think Brady has a hard enough time getting through 16 now. Now he can do 17 and maybe have to play an extra playoff game because you don't get the bye. So now it's 18.
You know, like, you think he's breaking down that bad?
I think he fades at the end of the year a little bit. I think it gets harder for him, yeah. And I mean, it feels to me like there's been a little bit of a pattern there. And so, you know, you're asking and I just think that's math. You know, 42, 43-year-old guy is going to get worn down more quickly at the end of a season.
We continue with your thoughts on this. I do have a follow-up on our conversation yesterday on the MLB cheating scandal. All that after Murray's update. Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick aside here from the NFL stuff. Follow up on our conversation yesterday on the cheating scandal in MLB. And I think the players are so fraudulent and they are making Manfred the scapegoat so embarrassingly, in my opinion. It's, you know, they're the ones that cheated. They're the ones that are driving the game into the ground. They're the ones that basically takes an act of Congress for them to do anything. It's them and their union that fight every single thing that baseball tries to do to improve the game. The union fights it. And if Rob Manfred really came down hard on those Astros players, what would the union do? You know they'd circle the wagon and close ranks, file grievances, and fight the punishments, and nothing would get done. So Manfred gave them immunity, punished the executives, and you know I think Manfred's just is getting a raw deal on this because I'm not sure what else he could have done. And I'm not telling you he's a great commissioner either, but I just think the players are embarrassing themselves. And so here's the latest. Mike Fiers, the guy who blew the whistle, the pitcher who blew the whistle to Evan Drellick and The Athletic, is now, the thing is, what's going to happen to him when the season starts? Is he going to be targeted by other players? And what's baseball going to do to protect him? He's now with the A's. And when he plays in the National League Park and he comes up to bat, are people going to throw at him and et cetera, et cetera?
He's the whistleblower.
To which I say, well, wait a minute. If you guys, if the players are so pissed that the Astros have gotten away with this, why aren't they celebrating Mike Fiers?
Exactly.
How come I don't hear more support for Mike Fiers among the players?
Well, because he broke a code too, don't you know that?
Well, but I don't get it. All these Yankees are sitting here telling me that they got cheated out of a World Series berth, and all these Dodgers are telling me that they got cheated out of a World Series championship, and Aaron Judge got cheated out of an MVP, and all these players are crying bloody murder over the things they were cheated out of. How come I don't hear support from Mike Fiers from these people? Instead, he's going to be ostracized or thrown at? Well, so which? But blame Manfred. Blame Manfred because he called it a piece of metal. Oh, you frauds, these players.
Oh, so this is what baseball players are. They're all selfish. They ultimately blame anybody for anything except themselves.
Why don't you hold up Mike Fiers? How come I don't hear more overwhelming support for Mike Fiers? Why is it the Dodgers and the Yankees going after Manfred? I mean, you can do that, but how come I don't hear in the same breath, thank God for Mike Fiers? We need more guys like this.
Because they look at him as a rat. And it's the whole nobody likes a rat thing.
He broke a different code.
Yeah.
These players suck.
They do.
These players suck. Mike Fiers did another interview with The Athletic where he talked about, you know, is he going to be protected? Or does he think MLB is going to provide him extra protection in the 2020 season? He said, I don't know how they would. I'm not asking for extra security. I'm here to play baseball, and I can defend myself, if anything. We do have National League games. I'm going to have to get into the box to hit just like everybody else. It's part of the game. If they decide to throw at me, then they throw at me. There's nothing much you can do about it. He added, I've dealt with a lot in my life. I've dealt with people hating me before. I've dealt with a lot of life problems. It is what it is. And if someone's going to retaliate by hitting me with a pitch, it's not a big deal. When asked whether he was concerned about his safety during the three A's road trips to Houston this year, the A's go there three times. He said, nope, everyone's crazy. Everyone can get crazy at a certain point if they don't like something that you do. Listen, everyone's mad at the Astros. There are teams that are mad. It doesn't matter what it is, extra protection. I mean, what are you going to do? There's not much you can do. So instead, you're just going to sit there and cry because the commissioner referred to the trophy as a piece of metal versus actually digging in and going at the problem, which are your fellow union members. And the one guy that did stand up for what was right to try and put an end to the cheating that cheated you out of your championships and you out of your, you're going to throw at him? Because, so what is it? This makes no sense to me.
But they didn't like the way that the story came to light.
Oh,
don't you get it?
God.
That's what it is. No, it's good that we found out, but that's not the way to do it. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get that type of stupidity from, again, and look, I say, like, well, he's a baseball player. What do you expect? I feel like it's gotten so much worse in the last, like, 5-10 years, and maybe this is just the old bastard in me, but I didn't feel they were nearly the prima donnas than they are now, and they were prima donnas before. I'm not saying they weren't, but this is ridiculous.
I mean, all the outrage over Rob Manfred for calling it a piece of metal. Where in the same breath is the support for Mike Fiers? Why is he worried about being thrown at? Why is baseball, and you'll hear the sound here coming up, where Manfred has to say, we're going to protect him. So now, so which is it? Were the Astros cheating bastards and Rob Manfred soft for not going after him, but you're also going to go after the guy that brought the whole thing to light? What? Explain that one to me.
No, it makes no sense.
You freaking
Zero.
Frauds.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one big case to be made against Fiers, and that is He waited till he was on another team.
Correct.
You know, so he benefited from it while he was in Houston, and then he, you know, ratted him out when he was on another team. I think he deserves criticism for that. I think that's fair. And I think, you know, poor Jess Mendoza had, you know, got rung up for that. And I don't think she had a totally bad point. It's like, if you're going to blow the whistle while you're on that team. And so you take some of the fall too. Don't wait till you're on another team and you're, so like that's fine.
Well, I think her criticism of him was blowing the whistle at all.
Period. Yeah. But but she also said in her answer, you know, I have a real problem with him going to another team and then doing it, which I get. I think that's, you know, so you can call him out for that. But in general, if you're so outraged at the Astros and you're so outraged at Manfred for not taking down the Astros players and, you know, besmirching the stupid freaking trophy, then why don't you put Mike Fiers on a pedestal? Why are you going to throw at him? Why are you going to attack the guy? That doesn't add up to me.
I mean, I want to see how the Astros pull that one off. What are they going to do? Charge the mound even if he doesn't throw inside? You know, whip a bat at him? Like, what are you going to do? Because he's not going to play he's not stepping into the batter's box in Houston.
Did he make anything up? Or was it all proven right? So there's my follow-up thought on the MLB stuff. You can add that to our list of topics, and we'll get to you right after these words.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Mike Fiers has been the subject of some pretty intense vitriol on social media and elsewhere. Is MLB concerned at all about his safety, and if so, what steps will be taken to ensure it, especially when the A's are in Houston this year?
We will. We will take every possible step to protect Mike Fiers wherever he's playing, whether it's in Houston or somewhere else. I want to be really clear about this. Mike, who I do not know at all, did the industry a service. I do believe that we will be a better institution when we emerge at the end of this episode. And without a Mike Fiers, we probably would have had a very difficult time cleaning this up. It would have taken longer. I think we would have done it eventually, but it would have taken a lot longer. And, you know, I have a real problem with anybody who suggests that Mike did anything other than the right thing.
I hope MLB is a bloodbath this year. I do. But the Fiers thing, I'm okay with them protecting Fiers. Let the rest of them eat each other alive and throw at each other in nightly brawls. If teams go after Mike Fiers, how weak is that?
Oh, unbelievably. Again, and like the inconsistencies that you pointed out, they're dead on. So, like, again, let's just say they all had a meeting, right? All the players had a meeting. Fiers speaks out in the meeting and says, you know, the Astros are cheating. Do guys, are they going to get mad at both? Are you going to get mad at the Astros and for Fiers for opening his mouth? Or is that what the meeting was for? So in this case, what he did was he exposed what was, frankly, a clown show in Houston. That was a joke. Why play the games if you know what's coming? And now you're going to be pissed at him, too? It is. It's a joke.
Ridiculous.
This is why I've told you. The game is just, it's eating itself from the inside. Like, I look at baseball and say, you guys are a bunch of stooges. Seriously, it is. It's a bunch of complete it's stoogery on every level with baseball right now. Absolute. I pray that there's a brawl every week.
Yes, me too.
Like, that will be awesome. And it would actually give me reason to sit there and watch instead of putting my thumb in my ear and watching my grass grow, which is right now more fun.
We continue with your thoughts. Ron in the car. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Felger Maz. I'm fine. You're fine. Just one group of guys that we haven't talked about yet is the umpires. Just wondering what position they're going to take. Are they going to issue warnings to both both benches immediately before the first pitch is even thrown?
Yep, you bet.
I'll listen to you guys.
Oh, you bet. You know that's coming. Baseball's going to overreact because we can't have, you know, the children can't want to be having fights every night. So you better believe that they're going to be hypersensitive, and then get first inside pitch to an Astro, there's going to be a warning, and they're going to try and, you know, tamp the whole thing out, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, there'll be phone calls before they even gets to that. I mean, the league office will reach out to the teams and, okay, here, just making sure we're all on the same page. They should just let them fight it out.
Oh, please.
Oh, but it would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Paul in Maine on the new playoff format in the NFL. Your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, guys. This one's actually for Dr. Changeridge, I mean Murray. Obviously, the owners will benefit from an expanded season, but I don't see how the product suffers by trading a preseason game out for an extra regular season game. And, in fact, I think adding two extra teams to the postseason just means that after the Pats go 8-9 next year, they can still actually make the playoffs. So why all the hate, Murray?
Because you're still rewarding mediocrity. I don't want to see sub-500 teams get into the playoffs. You would have had the Rams in the NFC this year, and they didn't deserve it, and the Steelers with Duck Dynasty, the quarterback, and that would have been terrible. They get waxed at Kansas City. It's a waste of everyone's time, except for the gamblers. Like, that's who really wants it, them and the owners.
Murray, do you like any aspect of it?
No, I don't.
What if they still kept it six postseason teams and got rid of both byes?
No, I don't. Leave it alone and don't get rid of the byes. I liked the two byes. It didn't need to be screwed with. I liked it the way it was.
Okay, just curious.
I like it. I am all for more inventory. I think the league can stand it. And it's different, Murray, than the... I mean, you're right about the Thursday night product. Like, so there's something about too many nights within a week. I'm with you. The Thursday night game for a long time felt like way too much. It's gotten better.
It has gotten better.
So I think everyone sort of adjusted to it, or they've tweaked the schedule in a certain way that Thursday night's gotten to be a better product.
Helsinki syndrome.
Well, no, but I mean, I understand, like, too many nights of football, that's what I get. But an extra week of football? No. And you bring up Mark Cuban's comment. Like, everyone does, Mark Cuban specifically mentioned, and I always forget, it's not American Idol. It's,
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where they put it on five nights a week, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, you're so stupid.
Okay, so like that's what I think he was referring to. Going from 16 to 17 games, I don't treat that as the same. Giving me five nights of football is. That's getting gluttonous. So, but just doing an extra week, I don't think it's the same thing. I don't.
No, it doesn't feel that way to me either. And again, look, I'm not in the business of making the league money. Okay, that's their job. But that third wild card game, you can see what the logic is. Each network gets one now, right? NBC, CBS, Fox, they all get one on wild card weekend.
Jeff in Nashua. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about baseball, but Murray, quickly, with the double bye thing with the NFL, you aren't at least slightly bye curious? Anyway, everything you guys are saying about the players is totally right, totally divas, but you can't let Manfred off the hook. He's a hypocrite, he's an idiot, and he's complicit in this 30-year conspiracy to commit fraud on the fans. He came on board in 87, and 89 they banned Rose for gambling, and then now in 2019 they're in partnership with DraftKings for fantasy stuff. But the steroid issue, he was Selig's right-hand man, observed the whole thing. And at least with steroids, both pitchers and hitters were benefiting. With this,
okay. So look, I'm not telling you he's a really effective commissioner, or I don't see any leadership there. Like, there's a lot of things to criticize him for. Like, I don't dispute those things. But if I'm going to play the blame game for the steroid era, and players, owners, commissioner, the players are number one by a long shot. By a long shot. They're eventually, the owners and the commissioner's office did say, okay, guys, we should have testing. And you know what the players said? No. And the owners said, well, we're going to institute testing. And the players said, no. And they said, well, how about just like a sample round of testing where we'll just, it's not a binding test. We just test you. And if more than 5% of you, and then Congress got involved. Do you remember what it took to get the players to agree to testing?
Yeah.
So I blame the players way more than I do the owners or the commissioner.
Yeah. I don't know if I blame them way more. I sort of put them all on the same hook, because again, a lot of that on the part of the owners at the time and in the commissioner's office was just eye candy. That's all it was, because they knew they couldn't do a thing without the players' participation. So they started to demand it because they knew the players would resist it, and it made them look good. And the reality is they benefited from it too. So like I still put them on the hook. I told you the leadership.
I think the biggest issue in the game is the obstinance of the players' union.
I don't disagree with that.
So, but that isn't saying that Manfred's great or the owners are in the right. I'm just telling you, when we're listing the problems, number one is the obstinance of the players' union. Period. Story over. And it applies to this very case as well.
I mean, the arrogance of the players' union is off the charts. Off the charts. I mean, say what you will about the owners, because I think they manipulate the facts and they lie too. But the players, The players give the fans the finger. They really do. I mean, the game's moving slower than ever. It's at a glacial pace. Everybody's talking about how do we speed it up, and David Price says, F you, I'm doing it my way. What an a-hole. I mean, really, it's not your game, dude.
Perfect example. And I'll just say it again. If Manfred really decided to go after the players on this cheating scandal, what would the union have done? You think they would have accepted the punishments? Or they have closed ranks and filed lawsuits and filed grievances, and the thing would be tied up in court, and there'd be we'd be nowhere.
Closed ranks.
We'd be nowhere. So, I mean, Manfred's just an easy target, especially for the fraudulent players, especially for those guys. Coming up next, we'll reset the thing that's on the table here, the new CBA in the NFL, what that means for the regular season, 17 games, what that means for the playoffs, 7 teams per conference, 1 extra wild card team per conference, going down to 1 bye versus 2 bye teams. How do you feel about it, and why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? I will tell you categorically why they are not doing it after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.